Justin Fox is about as much of a chameleon of a writer as exists in South Africa. He's very recently had a really, really, really impressive volume of poetry about travel published, a book called Beat Roots. He's written non-fiction books. He's written an enormous amount of travel journalism. He's written two novels, the second of which was published several months ago, but I only got round to reading it over the holiday period and absolutely loved a Jack Pembroke naval adventure called The Cape Raider, which takes place, most of it, in and around Simonstown on the harbour side and in the seas, and talks about the establishment of a minesweeping flotilla in order to counteract the German U-boats and raiding ships which are coming here, because a lot of naval military ships and a lot of ships carrying goods and passengers were coming around the Cape, and the Germans wanted to sink them. And Justin is on the line to us now from Churchhaven, lucky man. Hello, Justin.
Hello, John. Good to be on the show.
You've probably been to the Comores, or Comoros. How do you say it, and what are they?
John, I haven't been to the Comores. I've always assumed you would say Comores in English and Comoros in French, being an ex-French colony, but I've never been there, so I can't corroborate your pronunciation.
One of the very few places you haven't been. And you obviously went very deep into the history books for the Cape Raider and the minesweeping flotilla and the German raider that is coming towards Cape Town to wreak destruction, because every page just feels historically right.
Yes, John, it was 4 years of research, and I stuck very close to the facts, and there were a number of German raiders operating off the Cape. Two in particular, the Penguin and the Atlantis, spent a lot of time in South African waters, laying mines, sowing destruction, sinking ships in the South Atlantic and in the Indian Ocean. And I tried to model the story as close as I could on the stories of a composite of those German raiders and of the kind of countermeasures that the South African Navy, the fledgling South African Navy and the Royal Navy tried to put in place to stop them. So, yeah, it was a lot of research, some of it in England, in the British Archives, and some of it in Simonstown, and some of it at UCT Library. So it was a long slog, the research process.
And then you have to populate it with characters that the audience, the reading audience, wants to find out about. And the central character is Jack Pembroke, and we meet him in the evacuation at Dunkirk, where he doesn't cover himself with glory at all, and that's a bit of an understatement. And then he spends some time in Blighty, and then he comes to the Cape, where his father is an admiral and in charge of the force there, and he is given command of this fledgling minesweeping flotilla. And you know, quite often in these sorts of books, you've got these square-jawed, flinty-eyed heroes, but Jack is much more flawed than that, and therefore more interesting, because he's scared. He's worried that he's a coward. He's worried that he's not brave enough to be in command of a naval ship. And, you know, the first time he takes his new charge out of Simonstown Harbour, he nearly bangs into a very expensive piece of machinery. And that must have been a deliberate decision by Justin Fox to say, let's not make him the granite hero.
Yes, absolutely, John. I grew up, and I guess you did as well, reading the Alistair MacLeans, yeah, and the Nicholas Monserrats and the Douglas Riemanns as a kid, and I absolutely loved those nautical stories of the square-jawed Royal Navy hero. But I think I needed to do something quite different, and I wanted to make him flawed, and I wanted to have someone suffering from PTSD trying to overcome those fears in the most extreme situations. It makes for a much more interesting read and a more interesting way to develop a character over time. And I do see this as the beginning of a series of books. And so I see Jack as having, you know, a long process of recovery ahead of him.
Yeah, because it says on the cover, a Jack Pembroke naval adventure, meaning that there will be another one. And the characters who are aboard the boats, the boat in which he is in personal charge, and then the others, I mean, they're English speakers, they're Afrikaans speakers, there are white people, there are people who would have been classified coloured under apartheid. And that also represents the reality at the time, does it?
Yes, it does, absolutely. And that's very interesting about the South African Navy. If you know your Second World War history, the South African combatants were all white and all the auxiliary staff were black, coloured and Indian. But the Royal Navy and the early South African Navy were different. The actual serving crew of those minesweepers and those anti-submarine vessels were a lot of them were coloured, and that's largely because the fishing fleets of the Cape were populated by extremely talented, efficient, experienced sailors, and they were the obvious raw material for the warships.
And the kinds of tensions that exist between people who are different and the degree to which they're able to overcome those differences and work as a unit are again, very, very credible, very believable, because those kinds of tensions must exist. People, you know, somebody like Jack Pembroke, who's probably, you know, spoke a bit, probably went to Eton or somewhere like that and spoke in a particular kind of Prince Charles way, meeting some guy whose English is very poor and whose Afrikaans is very good. There are going to be tensions, and you have to resolve them. You have to, and Jack has to manage them, and he's certainly in the beginning not great at that.
Yeah, and also that the South African Navy, such as it was actually called the Seaward Defence Force in the early years of the war, had to be thrown together very, very quickly. When the war broke out on the 6th of September 1939, there were only three sailors in what was the South African Navy and two officers. So that was there were five of them, and they had to suddenly create a naval force of thousands of men. And they within a year or within about 18 months, they had nearly 50 ships, all of them manned by South African crew. So you could see how fast and how quick they had to turn it around. And they had a basic training at what is now Polsmoor Prison. That was the area of the basic training, and the castle was for the officer training. And they had to create a very quick sausage factory to get as many men onto the ships as quickly as possible.
And I love the fact that sand covered the tracks from Simonstown to Cape Town, even in the Second World War. And I love the appearance that Just Nugent makes, you know, because Just Nugent, he's from that time. And as the sailors are on trains heading off to some R&R in Cape Town, he's in the carriage with them. I love those lovely details. And the next one, Justin, how long do we have to wait for the next Jack Pembroke?
I have a first draft down and working on the second draft. It's looking like coming out in the middle of this year, hopefully.
Okay, well, I'm certainly not going to wait as long to read it as I did with The Cape Raider. Thank you very, very much for talking to us, Justin Fox, author of The Cape Raider, a Jack Pembroke naval adventure. Thoroughly enjoyed it.